Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, if you're a gardener, this is probably a fairly familiar scenario. So the sun comes out, you spend a pleasant afternoon kneeling in the flower bed, pruning, weeding and planting. But the next day, you've got dreadful pain in the knees and perhaps in your back. So what we're trying to do today is find out how you can get those great benefits of gardening but avoid the risks that come with it. And to that end, I'm joined now by gardener Mary Staunton and chartered physiotherapist from Total Physio, Jenny Brannigan. You're both welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello, Claire.
This is a good combo.
It is, isn't
this
it?
Is a good combo because when you're in, Mary, we don't often talk about what
the pitfalls.
And even for you, I mean, do you experience the aches and pains?
I do, but you see, what happens is the beginning of the season, so in January, you're not match fit at all. But by August, you certainly are. Everything's, you know, all the muscles have been working and got used to what you have been doing over the last few months. But it's when you start and you think, lovely day, I'm out here now and the sun is shining and we're going to just get in there for 6 hours. And as Jenny is going to tell you, the problem then is the next day or the day after that when you realise that you can't actually walk up the stairs because your muscles are killing you.
And that's DOMS, isn't it? That's delayed onset muscle soreness.
Delayed onset muscle soreness, certainly. But yeah, it's the marathon session when your body is not used to it. That's the big problem. And of course, because we are so weather dependent here, you know, one sunny day and everybody has that big long list of jobs and they're not able to plan ahead in the same way because they think, well, we mightn't get another sunny day for 2 weeks. So that is absolutely the problem. They do too much, too fast, too soon. There's no recovery. And the delayed onset muscle soreness is for a day or two after. But for some people, it lasts longer where they've actually injured themselves.
That's a bigger problem, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you've done some damage.
That's it. And of course, that then depends on what your personal levels of fitness are like. You know, as Mari says, you're not match fit at the start of the gardening season. But as your body gets more used to it and as you are able to adapt to those changes, it's not such a big deal. But the problem is that enthusiasm at the beginning and people don't stop and think about that. And that's why we end up seeing them in the clinic. And that's really the key thing. If you could just think, right, what am I like now after this winter period? Have I been fit? Have I been varying my movement? You know, if you have to reach up to chop hedges versus getting down low to weed, it's lots of different types of movement. Is your body able for that at the start? And how do you make it more readily able for that so you don't get injured?
But you're very happy with people gardening because it's like a proper workout.
Well, it is a proper workout. Absolutely. I mean, it has brilliant benefits. The World Health Organization guidelines for exercise, physical activity each week is 150 to 300 minutes per week plus 2 strengthening sessions. So gardening absolutely fits that bill. So it engages all of your big muscles, your legs, your buttocks, your arms, your shoulders, your tummy. There's lots of variety in the tasks and we always love variety. So people get outside that comfort zone of movement. It allows people to work on, you know, their manual dexterity. If they're trying to do small little tasks with their hands, it makes their hands stronger. It's good for balance. It's good for your bone health. And it makes you sleep better when you've been so active during the day. So we do love gardening from a physical health point of view. Absolutely.
But you're out in the air. You know, there, during COVID, we couldn't wait to get out there. Now, I know there's a bit of a, a return to, you know, armchair gardening now, but just the benefits of getting out there and being observant and the amount of kind of people putting in wildflower meadows and that sort of thing, it's just a natural thing to be involved in. I always advise, especially, you know, when you're an older gardener, when you're growing hedges and stuff like that, cut them off at where you can easily cut them. Not that you have to reach up, get on a ladder, fall off a ladder, you know, those sort of things.
Absolutely.
But just
idea.
Cut it off where you can actually physically, without using too much strength and energy, trim it properly.
Keep it manageable.
Keep it manageable. And that's the key as you get older. Just keep everything manageable. And, you know, a lot of people are getting rid of lawns and they're putting in loads of flowers and shrubs and that sort of thing. That's a lot of work. So you have to, and pots are a huge amount of work because you're bending down, you're watering pots constantly, that sort of thing. So if you can keep things a little bit more concise and a little and often, do little and often.
That's
and
it.
Be
absolutely.
Outside as much as you can, but little and you can sit outside and read the paper. You don't have to be doing loads of gardening.
I like that idea.
Green therapy.
Are you careful as a gardener? Would you use things like a kneeler and those sort of devices?
Don't tend to use a kneeler, but what I do is most certainly goggles or I wear glasses as well. Because when you're cutting hedges or anything like that, especially hawthorn or something like that, if a little bit of that gets into your eye, It's the most dangerous thing. You know, there's poison in especially when you're pruning roses and you get maybe a thorn in your hand. And the throbbing, if you don't get that out, if you don't get that little thorn out, the throbbing in your hand. So I always wear gloves, and I wear kind of a leather backed glove when I'm pruning roses. So the right equipment is going to save you an awful lot of bother later on. So if you have the right equipment, but goggles are an absolute must, or just your glasses to stop any flying debris getting into your eye.
My optician reminds me of that all the time, but I tell her I have a husband. So
I have a gardener's issue.
A husband who does the pruning.
And speaking of equipment, actually, one thing that we would see a lot of is people over gripping, you know, the secateurs or, you know, any kind of equipment that they're using. If they're really squeezing it tightly, that repetitive strain in the elbow, in the tendons in the elbow, can cause an awful lot of pain. So even just increasing the grip on your gardening tools is a really easy way to just reduce that pressure on your elbow. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth saying.
Can I give a little tip about that? There's different secateurs for different hands. So there's a light secateurs for, you know, somebody who's not doing a huge amount of pruning and they're quite light. There's one with the handle kind of twists if you're doing a lot of pruning. There's a left-handed secateurs. So there's all sorts of the right equipment for the right job.
Yeah.
And it's just not just picking up the first thing that you see. So I know it's back to that kind of old saying, you pay well and you pay once. You buy the right stuff and you have the right stuff to use in your garden. You don't leave it thrown around in the garden. Getting rusty. You know, that sort of thing.
Well, that's why it's important if you're going in to buy something like that and it's an investment. You need advice from the garden centre because most of us are not going to know what we're looking at there.
I would insist on taking it out of the packaging and holding it. You know, there's a particular label I'm not going to mention now, but there's a number, there's 1 to 6 or 7 in the range, and each one is different. Each one is for a different hand, you know, so you have to pick it up. See how it works, and it's always better to buy the secateurs that you can buy the component parts for, as they maybe
break
or something like that. They don't have to buy a whole new secateurs.
And are you like a tennis player in that you're stronger on one side than the other?
On the right hand side, really strong, really, really strong. And I notice when I'm working, or maybe I'm doing hedges or something like that, that the next day this one is the left side. Really achy, but the right side is okay. You know,
and do you alternate then? That's one of the things we would advise people to try and do, because that improves their grip strength then.
I'm so strong on the right side that I tend to favour that all the time. But you're right, if I could just build this one up a bit more, and maybe I should, to be able to ease it off on the right side.
So why are you getting sore on the left? Is it because you're using it and it's not strong?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Jenny, is she right there?
So, we all have a dominant side, and it's the side that we favour when we have to do a task that's a little bit more difficult. So if you try and balance that a little bit more by alternating the hand that you prune with, that's going to build up your strength more equally on both sides compared to always being very right-sided. So absolutely, if your body is not used to having to reach up and use force in that position and you do it on that non-dominant side, that's the type of thing that can cause a problem if you do a marathon 6-hour gardening session.
It's hard though when you're busy and you just want to get the job done.
That's
the other thing is Wellingtons. You know, you're wearing Wellingtons, especially when it's wet and you're going out to do gardening in the winter. And Wellingtons, by virtue of fact of how they're made, your foot slips forward and you do end up getting cramps in the back of your legs from the virtue of the fact that your foot is moving forward. So thicker socks and Wellingtons is a simple tip to stop that happening.
Or even putting your insoles. A lot of people wear insoles in their shoes, stick them in the ways.
There you are now.
These are dangers that I did not know about.
Don't do it anymore, Claire. No more gardening.
And do you wear Wellingtons even in the summer?
No, I don't. I wear proper work boots that are steel toe capped. Yeah.
No flip-flops.
No flip-flops. Oh, yeah. Definitely not. No.
You mentioned ladders there as well.
Oh, yeah.
The dangers are obvious when it comes to ladders. And you're talking about a high-risk activity.
Oh, I would never use one unless somebody was at the bottom of it holding it. Secondly, even if you tie it in or you don't tie it in, first of all, if you're getting up very high and you have to tie it in, make sure there's still somebody there. But if you fall off it, and I've heard of it happening, and it happened to a friend of mine, he caught his foot in one of the rungs of the ladder as he fell. So he couldn't untangle himself.
Oh, God. Yikes.
So it is so, I mean, I'd say the hospitals on a bank holiday are full of people that fell off things or, you know, and they just happen to get on a chair and then maybe put something else on the chair to reach something out in the garden. But you just have to have somebody with you, especially if you're using equipment like a chainsaw or hedge trimmers, anything like that. Don't be doing it when there's nobody around in the garden or in the house. you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So just make sure that you're not doing it on your own.
Yeah. And I suppose the key with the soreness that people are experiencing when they go out and do the marathon sessions is to keep yourself fit all year round, yeah. isn't it?
Ideally, yes. Yeah. I mean, if your body is used to going outside this comfort zone of movement, it won't be such a big deal when you do something that's a little bit more out of your comfort zone. But if you're very sedentary during the winter and then you suddenly burst into activity, of course, your body hasn't had a chance to catch up. So when you think about it with common sense, everyone says, oh, of course, how did I not think of that? But yet every year the same thing happens. So it's all about looking at, you know, honestly, how fit are you? Have you been active? What kind of activity are you doing? Are you used to raising your heart rate, raising your respiratory rate with activity? Are you used to breaking a sweat? And if you are, then, you know, how used are you to reaching up with, you know, using a hedge clippers? Is that something that you're going to be able to do? Or have you not done anything overhead for 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
It's about thinking about these things, but we all just get that enthusiasm and don't think about it. It's the common sense piece.
For people, Jenny, who have a weak lower back, all of that work that we were talking about, you know, if you're kneeling, weeding, pruning, that's really difficult. How do you solve that problem for them? Or should they just not be doing that for long stretches of time?
So they should be doing it, but they should just be planning it a little bit more. So what we would look at is, we don't try to talk to anybody about having a weak lower back. We just have a lower back that needs to be built up a bit more. We need to just strengthen and get you more active. So we would look at how people are able to move and then how do we build that strength. So even we would get people carrying, you know, kettlebells around the room, place the kettlebell up onto a shelf, put it back down onto the floor. If you've got 3 or 4 kilos and you can put it onto your kitchen table, back down onto your floor, can you simulate, you know, as if it's a watering can, as if you were pouring water on some plants? We would practice with those types of activities before somebody gets out into the garden. So really practical. You don't have to be doing tons of exercise in order to garden. You just need to be used to lifting weight around at different heights, moving into different positions with it. Can you reach down? Can you lift it up off the floor? Those type of basic things will go a long way in the garden.
Yeah.
And it's just about not being afraid of, a lot of people are afraid to lift weights, and we've talked about this tons of times here before, but can you lift a watering can that's going to weigh 3 kilos? You know, is there anything in the past 4 months that will tell you that you're well able to do that? And if you haven't been doing that type of movement, then we do that to build you up before you get into the garden.
The lazy man load now is what I'm thinking about. Yeah. You know, when you have a watering can and you know you probably won't be able to lift it if it's full, but you fill it anyway because you can't be bothered walking back to the tap. Is that just me? Or
No. That's universal, I think. That's universal. Yeah, absolutely. But I was, you know, even having a decent wheelbarrow, put the load over the wheel. You know, when you're filling the wheelbarrow, don't put it all near the handles. Put it up at the front so the wheel can take the load and then you're just wheeling it along.
You know, you think this is obvious now, but this
I know,
is important
but
to say.
I learned it the hard way, you see, when I was shifting blocks when we were building the glass house. So I used to put them all up on the front of the wheelbarrow near the front, and then I could easily move them down the guard. And you know, when you're moving about 3,000 of them, it's always good to have a bit of advice from somebody. You know?
It's one thing being fit, but you have to be careful and sensible
as well.
Lifting that watering can or using the wheelbarrow properly, you have to protect yourself, don't
and
you?
Ask for help.
Absolutely. And also, you need to bear in mind, if you feel tired, then take a rest. A lot of people think, well, I'll just keep going because it'll be dark in an hour. Or, you know, you need to just, again, think about how your body is feeling and say, look, I'm a bit tired now. Take a rest and then come back to it and just take those breaks so that your body gets a bit of recovery.
Get the teenager out of the bed and down the stairs when you ask him to do something to help you out.
Yeah. See, the
Thomas,
problem
I
is,
hope you're listening.
It's like anything. It's easier to do it yourself sometimes,
know,
isn't it?
I know,
to have the row.
Yeah.
Mowing the lawn, a basic one that a lot of people will be doing around this time. What advice have you? Because that can be tough in itself.
It can. And I have a a battery operated lawnmower for two reasons. One, it's really light. So it just takes two batteries and it can cut. We've quite a decent amount of grass, so it can cut a decent amount of grass. And I have stopped using the bigger lawnmowers because, to be honest with you, trying to start them, and there's all sorts of, you know, stuff that can go wrong, and you're pulling the arm out of yourself trying to start. So if you're looking for, you know, something a little bit easier, then, you know, be kind to yourself and look at the alternatives to the you know, the lawnmower that we traditionally use, a petrol one, and look at maybe a battery operator.
Is that a rechargeable battery that you have?
Exactly. And there's no wires. You just put the two batteries in and off you go. So it's things like that that just make life a little bit easier. And it's easy to fold up and put away. You know, it's not a big one. So, you know, most lawns aren't big anymore, so you don't need a massive lawnmower to cut a small amount of grass.
Yes, and as you say, pulling the choke to get it started and all of that,
try
to avoid that.
Yeah.
And we're trying to avoid injury in the first place, isn't that really the
basis.
Yeah,
well, any sudden movement like that, you do need to be fit to be able to do that. But the other thing with the lawn mowing as well is if you're mowing regularly, it's not going to be as hard a job as if the grass is really high. So again, the early season grass cutting is more of a problem then for people because obviously they have to push more. So if you've got a little vulnerability there, you might be more susceptible.
I think a lot of people are cheating now, Marion. They're getting those, you know, the ones that are automatic robot lawnmowers. Have you seen them?
They're sitting in the deck chairs and it's doing the job around the garden. I think, I mean, it's a perfect, if you have a lot of lawn, they're perfect, you know, and there's little sensors so they don't go off grid, if you know what I mean. So they just cut what's, and they're operating 24/7, you know, which is great. But I mean, I can see that coming down the road. I can see people using that sort of equipment much more and enjoying their lives out in the garden doing other things, you know.
But one thing then is they lose the benefit of being active in the garden. You know, I look at my car, my boot, and I now just have to press a button on my key to open and close the boot. So you don't have that practice of reaching and, you know, pulling down the boot, keeping the muscle active. The same thing with those little robot lawnmowers now. You know, technology is definitely making people more lazy.
Sure.
So from our point of view, as trying to get people to move more, yes, it's great and convenient, but then you are losing an opportunity to keep active and to build up those steps in your garden. Mm. So there's two sides of it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's part of the obesogenic environment that we hear about sometimes on this program, where everything is too easy now, so we don't move as much.
True. That's
no.
right. Yeah.
So don't get that one. Yeah, don't get that one. Garden push your lawnmower this weekend. Thank you so much for coming in, Jenny and Mari, and we'll see you again soon. Enjoy your time in the garden. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.